AW, mobile.
AW, good afternoon.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Yourself.
I hear audio on my radio. I don't hear it in my car, though. Normally, I hear it in my car. So, I'm troubleshooting while I'm talking to you. While I'm driving.
Multitasking or triple tasking?
Yeah, I did something that made my audio stop working. I think I turned the volume down somewhere. My speaker's out. I figured out what it was. The source was no longer my ham radio. It was one of my cell phones. Anyway, that's working good. I'm just coming back from the airfield. Just went out to Campobello Flyers Field for the very first time and flew out there for a little bit. It's a nice field.
And RC?
Affirmative. Electric, RC, multi-rotors, fixed wing, that kind of stuff. There were other people out there flying, too. That was pretty cool.
It always seemed like an interesting hobby.
You can spend a lot of hours and hours and hours putting airplanes and radios and stuff like that together. I've done it. My first one that I built, I was 6 years old, and the wing was warped. It was rubber band. It had a pulled-up fuselage, wings with ribs, silk band covering. Been doing it ever since then, and it's a lot of fun.
I still carry on doing it, and then you started it as a kid?
With ham radio, because, one of the reasons I always wanted to get into ham radio was so I would know more about the radio that's controlling the airplane, and that actually did help quite a bit.
Hey. Here's the other station, and good morning to you, too. Dave, how was the weather out there this morning?
It was cold, and I had on layers, and I had to go get more layers. And I had to keep my gloves on, and had to get my hat on. It was cold. It was like high 20s, low 30s. But the wind wasn't blowing, so it was kind of nice.
You have to keep the batteries warmed up, or is that not necessary? Or is it only necessary when it gets much colder than that?
That does have an effect, but as long as they've got enough, so as long as their discharge rate is sufficient for being able to discharge so that the internal resistance causes a little bit of heat, they'll heat themselves up. But if the internal resistance is too high because they're so cold that it can't initiate the process of internal self-heating internally, then you have a problem.
And then I'm sorry I didn't get your call. Go ahead, please. My name's Ken, calls Kilo November 4, Tango Foxtrot Whiskey. So how long can an airplane fly on batteries?
So that's what's so fun about flying airplanes, radio-controlled airplanes, is because if you look on YouTube and you look it up, there are people that build them just for sustained flight. So it'll stay up for days on end. There's other people that want to build them for speed, really high speed. There's other people that just want floaters that can just go out there and float. There's sailplanes. So it all depends on what you build it for. It can go from minutes. I used to have some competition airplanes that just had a 4-ounce fuel tank, and it wouldn't fly but about 2.5 minutes, but that's all you needed to compete. So it's just a function of what you want it to do and how you build it.
How yours fly?
Mine go from maybe 4 minutes minimum to maybe a half hour maximum. KPRS decided it was time to send out a waypoint and overrode you.
You built yours for speed.
Well, some of them are for speed. I got some pylon racers that are built for competition, but most of them are just built for fun flying, all right, just for having fun, or for taking pictures, or for programmed flight, autonomous programmed flight, just a lot of different things you can do, kind of like ham radio, a lot of different things you can get into.
Yeah, I'll let the other station go. Say hello to Dave and see how they're flying with this morning. Too cold for me to get out there for sure, I know that. But did you do any drone flying today, Dave, or just fixed wing?
It was the first day since I got back into it after I started the new job, which is now an old job. But I quit flying 5 years ago when I started the job. Today was the first day I flew a built up fixed wing. Everything else has been foamies until now because foamies, you can't break those. you can, but you don't lose it. They cost a dollar. You build them out of a board that is built out of foam and paper from Dollar Tree, Dollar General. So those are cheap. But I flew one of the other ones that's a lot more complicated today for the first time. I didn't fly it, but for about 3 or 4 minutes. That's all I needed, and my hands like kind of shaking, so I decided to come down and land. It's kind of like math or kind of like CW. If you haven't done it for a long time, it takes you a little while to build back up the skill again. That's before DJW.
Have you? Okay, yeah. I would imagine it's been so long since I've flown. It'd be like starting from scratch for me. I wouldn't want to attempt it with anything other than a foam plane. That's for sure. And I think the other station is KN4. November Foxtrot Whiskey, is that right?
Tango Foxtrot Whiskey. And I always wanted to do it, but I figured it. For whatever reason, I just don't have that technique to fly one.
Well, it's never too late. Come on out to the airfield someday.
Enough project started right now.
Well, that's true, too. You can get into a lot of different hobbies. It is one that you can get engrossed with. It's actually my preferred hobby, but it takes more to do it than ham radio doesn't take much to operate a radio. Just got to install it and use it. And you can't crash a ham radio, but you can crash an airplane.
I know I had a buddy that flies them, and they're not cheap.
I mean, you can build cheap ones, but you can also build very, very expensive ones, like jets and stuff like that. I only built one jet ever, and after I sent it through the woods, screaming through the woods at about 130 miles an hour, and it shaved all his wings off, I didn't build another one after that.
Explain to your wife how you trashed it, right?
But thankfully, she doesn't really know what I have when it comes to airplanes. She has plenty of stuff she does too, so she doesn't tell me when she crashes her stuff, the equivalent of crashing. So I don't tell her when I crash stuff either. She's liking the free job.
And I gotta run back downstairs, but this was a, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but they were doing ISS, they were doing a EVA replacement of cables to one of the European ESA projects. I can't remember, Bartolomeo or something. And when they did, the cables were not correct or something, so the APRS, digipeater, and force repeater are down indefinitely until they figure out what the heck they did wrong.
Equipment that's on the space station or on something they were launching?
Now, this is on the space station. They were going out there to do some, I can't remember the name of the project, but it was a European Space Agency project that they were working on. They had to redo some RF cables, and they used the cable that EAS supplied rather than ISS supplied, which is, all that stuff is tested thoroughly before they send it up. And they did some cables, hooked it back up, couldn't get it to work, and they think they might have disconnected. They're trying to figure out whether it's an internal cable or one external, but whatever they did, it wasn't, they didn't do it right, or the cable was tested. But anyway, the RF's not working. They had a school contact. They had to cancel because they couldn't get a downlink. They couldn't radiate out. There's nothing wrong with the antenna. Some does RF cable connections, and they're going to see if they can't. The Russian side had a slow scan TV project going on through the 10:30 UTC on the 28th, I think was the last part of it. So they're going to see if they can, use the Russian D-710 they have, but I'm not sure if they're going to do that or not. But so far, both the APRS digipeater and the voice repeater are not working.
I'd hate to have been the one who made the decision they were going to do that project the way they were going to do it, because that person's in a pickle right now. But I guess it happens. We're human. We make mistakes. W4DJW.
773 to both of you. I got to jump back downstairs for a while. Hope you get warmed up. Have a good afternoon, Dave. And I'll turn it back to KM4TFW.
All right. We'll say 73. Good to talk to you this morning.
Stay safe. And Ken, are you you liking the new job?
Yes, I am liking the new job. It's a lot less stressful. You know, this job, when I'm off, I'm off. So that's, you know, as soon as I pull out of the parking lot, that's it. So I really like it.
Yeah, that would be nice. I've never had a job like that that had an off switch on it, that they didn't have the right to turn back on after you got home from work.
Also, you know, it's such a big company, they kind of limit you to what you can do, so there's not really any sense in calling me because there's nothing I can do from the house, not like the old job.
The job, any?
I miss the people. That, you know what I mean? After 20 years, you kind of miss the people. KN4TFW.
Oh, wow. I had not realized that you had been there 20 years. So how long had Johnny... So you, Johnny was just a spring chick compared to you being there.
Yeah, you got that right. I was there, I guess, 21 years all total.
The only job I had that long was when I worked with Michelin, and I hated leaving Michelin because those were some good people. That was like family. It's like leaving family, but had to do it. And it's just something you have to do what you have to do.
I thought it was going to be, you know, pretty stressful, you know, leaving it, you know, at my age and going someplace else, and you've been there for 20 years and that, but they really made me feel at home over here, so I'm kind of really liking it.
So now that you got all this free time on your hands, what's the plan with all the free time?
And a little bit of woodworking, try to make a couple of things and that, and try my hand at that, just to, you know, just to relax and have something to do, make some toy boxes for the grandkids and stuff like that.
You know, Ariel in Y4G, he's got a bunch of woodworking tools, and he does that. He's really, really good at it. He's made some rocking chairs that are just unbelievable.
And I think I've met him. He's over there at the Greer Club, right?
I think he does. Yeah, he's a member of several clubs, but I think he's a member of Greer as well. But, once in a while, he'll call the Blue Ridge 2-meter net on Saturday evening. So in fact, he's scheduled to call it tonight, and I didn't send him an email this morning, but so sometimes I have to remind him. But he may remember on his own, too, so you may hear him on the net tonight if you're awake that late.
And it's been a long time since I've checked in on that, because usually about, yeah, right about that time I'm headed to bed, and that, and you know, depending on the day, I may be way late in the call.
That's because you're part of the morning group that's up at, if I don't turn my volume down on my radio, the morning group wakes me up and I have to get up and go turn, or hit the mute button at about 5 a.m.
Video on all day long?
Yeah, I never turn my radios off. So once they go on, they're on. They're on till they quit working, which so far has been like 15, 16 years, they're still working.
I'll have to holler out at you one morning.
Well, I remember, there's a hockey puck-like thing, and if I tap the top of it, it mutes all the speakers. Usually I remember to do that when I get up and go to bed. But sometimes I forget, and that's when those guys, the morning group, I'm trying to recall their call signs. It's, I think Tim is one of them, and it's the NAP suffix. I can't remember the guy that delivers papers or something like that in the morning. But anyway, I hear, POT is another one. POT and you and those other three, and usually somebody else will usually show up in there too. Oh yeah, Al jumps in there every now and then.
And then Mike jumps in, KK4NXE, and then we got Andrew, he's a new one, KO4CEF, and then a new guy just started joining us, Patrick. He comes in on Thursdays, and another one, I don't remember the suffix is G GPA, I think, and he comes in on Fridays.
That's Jimmy. GPA is Jimmy.
I got a little group going on there in the morning from about, I don't know, 5:15 till a little after 6 anyway.
And I figure since you're up there at 5 o'clock, that means you had to get up before 5 o'clock to be on the road and on the radio by then, which is why you're going to bed before the net, right? Because you got to get up early in the morning. I remember I used to have to get up at 4:45 to make it to Charlotte on time when I worked in Charlotte. I had to get up at 4:45 every morning. So I understand how that works.
Yeah, I get up at 4 every morning, and I just take my time, and then, you know, I get me something to eat and leave the house about 5:20, 5:30, something like that.
Minutes early, so you're never really rushed. So that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I usually get there between 6:15 and 6:30, and I don't have to start till 7.
I do it when I worked at Michelin. It was like a 27-mile ride, and I'd get there 30 minutes early, and I just go sit in the break room with a whole bunch of other people that got there that early, and just have a good round table before we all went out and went to work.
I like to get my head clear before I have to get started and that, and then the talking on the radio helps helps the ride make it that much more enjoyable.
And it really shortens the ride, significantly shortens the ride when you're talking to somebody on the radio. It's a long ride when the radio is silent. So my wife sometimes asks me why I don't ever take her car. Her car doesn't have a ham radio in it, and I tell her I don't drive cars that don't have radios.
Without a radio when wherever we take my wife's Jeep, because she don't have one in there yet, but thinking about putting one in there, but I don't know, she probably might not let me.
W4DJW, that's exactly the reason I don't take hers. She won't let me. She doesn't want any stinking ham radio in her car.
I'm enjoyed, you know what I mean, sometimes when I'm talking with the other guys, you know, and then we go out to eat and stuff like that, so she kind of enjoys that part of it. KN4TFW.
W4DJW. I remember when I was learning before I got my ticket, and I was just listening a lot, she used to listen with me, and she used to know who the people were, knew who everybody was, and knew what was going on. It was kind of cool. But after a few years of that, and I got my license and I was talking on it more, she kind of drifted away.
My neighbor's a little bit interested in it, and then it looks like my boss is a little bit interested in it, and there's another neighbor that he's a truck driver, and he's kind of getting interested in it, so I might have some new ones here before too long.
Refreshing to get back to technology that you're not totally dependent on some provider to provide you, like cell phones. Right, it's RF to the tower, to the cell tower, but you're 100% completely dependent on them to be able to talk to somebody else, right, and paying that bill every month, which isn't so bad for what you get, but it's kind of refreshing to be able to go back to just straight-up technology that you control every aspect of it, and the person you talk to is doing the same thing. That's kind of fun. W4DJW.
I just kind of got that mindset of what happens if it hits the fan. It's like, yeah, I can't communicate with anything, you know, and they just got them worried and thinking about plan B. And then, like, this morning I got back on HF for the first time in a couple of months and was talking to Austria like you and I are talking right here, and that was pretty awesome.
A whisper beacon that does 80% of the time and transmits 20% of the time, and it talks to Australia on 1 watt. 1 watt, and it's talking to Australia all day, every day. And Australia's talking to us on some of them a tenth of a watt. Some of them use 5 watts, some of them use 1 watt. But it's just pretty impressive to me that you can keep that up, keep communication channels going, use those frequencies so we don't lose those frequencies. And 1 watt, all right, from here to Australia, that's just out of this world.
Well, morning and that, and I wish I could talk a little longer, but I'm here at the Ingles, so I better go on in there and get my stuff done. And that, so I'll say 73 to you. Hope to maybe catch you again another time. And we'll say KN4 TFW. I'll be clear on your final.
All right, Ken. Good talking to you. You guys stay safe. KN4 TFW, W4DJW Mobile.
WOZ.
Well, how's everything in the land of Waz?
Doing things okay, Mr. Dave. How about yourself?
I'm enjoying life. Living large. Flying radio control airplanes.
I enjoyed those too, until I got to where I couldn't chase them down anymore. Always enjoyed airplanes. I crashed more than I saved, but I enjoyed it.
Happen, right? Everything that goes up will come down one way or another, and sometimes it's not the way you planned it, but c'est la vie, it's worth it.
Dave, I want to ask you a question. We have a piece of equipment at church that it's a small little voice box type thing. It got plugged into a power supply that was too big for it. Could it be possible to fix the power supply back in this little place?
Power supply or the voice box?
It was set up for a 12-volt wall wart, and somehow it got plugged into a 24-volt wall wart, and it popped. I was just wondering if it's possible to get in there and fix that.
A lot of those devices, at least a lot that I've worked on that I've seen, have a, they've got a diode in there that will pop, that will protect it if you do something like that. That protects it for reverse polarity, the one I'm thinking of. I don't know if it'll protect it for overvoltage. But a lot of them have a built-in protection mechanism for things like that happen. It'd be worth it just to open it up and see, you know, see what's inside there. See if you can see what's burnt. If you've got a burnt diode right there where the jack is, then just find out what size diode that is and replace it and see if that fixes it. It'd be worth a try. I mean, diodes cost, what, about 20 cents?
20 cents. I like that. A lot better than replacing the little box. Pricey. When it was bought, that's been years ago, but still, it wasn't cheap. Okay, well, I'm going to bring it home from church tomorrow, and I'm going to take it apart and see what we can find out. If I need to bounce some ideas on you, would that be okay?
Absolutely. And if you get it home and you get a model number and you look it up on the internet, you might be able to look on the, you might be able to find a schematic for it on the internet. Or you might be able just to find a list of specifications for it and look through that list to see if it has over voltage protection or reverse voltage protection. And if it does, then you know you can fix it, and you just got to find out, you know, how they did it, how they implemented the over voltage or the reverse voltage protection.
Very good. Okay, good to speak to you, Dave. Good to hear you on the radio. I hear y'all on all the time. I just don't talk as much as I used to. So have a good day. Enjoy this cool Saturday. We'll catch up with you later. Thank you so much for the info. W4WOZ.
Good to hear you on the radio, too. I miss hearing you on the radio. I used to hear you quite a bit. It's good to hear you back on the radio. W4WOZ, W4DJW Mobile.